first of all, I want to start off and say welcome. I'm glad that you're here. New series today, Money Trap. And now for some of you, this is going to be kind of one of those days that you come and go, I'm okay. Don't talk to me about my money. If there's one thing in my life that I've got under control, it's my money. So you don't have to sit around and yell at me about my money today and how I'm spending my money. It's good. Some of you have been through this enough that you've heard Dave Ramsey 1,000 times and you've got your little pocket folder thing that you have your cash all organized and you're ready to go to eat after church. You know you only have so much to eat on and you're all Dave Ramsey financial, you know, Peace University up in your life today. And so this is not for you. But let's just be honest with this. Have you ever been in life and felt trapped? You know what I mean by trapped? And here's the thing about life is, it's not just money that traps you. It's everything, is it not? Is there so many things in life that can cause us to be trapped? Like relationships. You ever been trapped in a relationship? Dating somebody that you knew you shouldn't be dating? Going places with people you know that you shouldn't be going? And all of a sudden, you got caught and you're trapped. You're trapped. You're trapped by just that relationship. And then to couple on top of that, not only is it your relationships that bother you, right? Not only is it just that you can't get out of the way of relationship, but I just am trapped by time. By time, I'm just trapped. Like, I just have so much going on. It's just like, I don't know if I can breathe, and I don't know if I can go any further, and I just feel like I'm, just be honest with me, stuck. And everything that I try to do, and even if I try to shake it off, it's stuck to me. And maybe for some of us, it's not even that. Maybe it's a secret sin. You know what I mean? You've got an area in your life that you're just absolutely miserable. I mean, you know it. You can't stop it. And even when you try to stop it, it just gets worse. And then for some of us today, we're trapped by God. You know what I mean? You come in here and you come to church and you're trying to make things right, but it seems like everything the pastor says just hurts. Like, I'm so angry with God. We've been talking about forgiveness and I just can't do it and I just am stuck. And I don't know if you're like me, but this is how I feel most of the time. Amen? And so, one of the things that we should never be trapped by is money. I don't know if you've ever been trapped by money. You haven't been able to do the things that you want to do, go the places that you want to go, and it just seems... Okay. Pause with me real quick. Breathe in, breathe out. This is a rap track. It will break my fingers. So, should I do it? Oh, well, listen. I'm going to hold this off until later, but I think that there's some things that we should talk about, because have you ever, and let's just show of hands, have you ever felt like this is what money feels like? Raise your hand. Have you ever been in a spot where you're just like, if I make the wrong decision, it all could come crashing down. Anybody ever been there? And here's the thing about it is, the Bible talks so much about finances that, and stuff and money that sometimes it gets absolutely confusing because you come to church and the last thing you think that your preacher is going to talk about because he's not a televangelist is money, because you know what? He doesn't really need my money that bad. And today is not talking about you giving your money to the church. I'm talking about this, and here's the spiritual truth that we're going to have to stick our minds around. And this is going to be the spiritual truth that guides us through this entire series. You ready for this? The reason Jesus talked about money and possession so much is because he knows that you cannot be a fully devoted follower of him if you're trapped by your money. A lot of people say, no, I'm serving God and I can do this just fine. Don't tell me that my money is causing some problems. But here, listen to me. The reason that Jesus says this so many times in the Bible, like, listen, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. He says things like that in the Bible. And really what he means is like, all you have to do to know where your heart is, to know where you're walking, know where you're spending your time is to know where your money's going. And if you would look back and just take the time to look back, you would see that one of your number one problems in life is that your money has got you trapped. So Jesus knows this, and here's the point. If you truly want to follow God, you truly want to do the things that God has called you to do and walk in the direction, in the way that he's called you to walk, you have to understand that your heart is directly connected to your finances. Now, could you just turn to your neighbor and say this right now? Could you just say to him, money's fun? Could you just say it to him right next to your neighbor? Money's fun. Say it again. Money's fun. How many want to amen that? Money is fun. If you got some, right? If you got, now turn to your neighbor and say, if you got some. If you got some, if you really have money and you've got it, man, is it so fun and freeing to know that it's there and you have it, and man, nobody can take it away from you and you can do the things that you want to do. But here's the problem. We're living in a society that does not know how to handle money. And some of us in this room, you would fall into this trap saying, Pastor, this is my biggest problem, my biggest worry. I've lost sleep at night thinking about bills. I've had many fights with my spouse over this idea of money because I am trapped. Why? Why are you trapped? And maybe you don't even know that you're trapped. And so here all I want to do is just give you a small test to see if you're even trapped. If you're spending more than what's coming in every week, you're trapped. If you don't even care that you're spending more than what's coming in, you're trapped. Listen, if you're hoping that your spouse will not find out about a financial obligation that you have in your life, you're trapped. If you've ever went to a restaurant to pay and they come back and say, insufficient funds, you're trapped. If you've ever not went someplace that you want to go because you don't have the money to do it, you're trapped. How about this one? Have you ever just bought something ridiculous? At the time, think about this, at the time, it made total sense, did it not? When you bought it, you were like, I've got to have it. And if I just have this one thing, it'll change everything, right? And so you bought this one thing, and for 3 weeks, am I right? For 3 weeks, you were looking at it. You were, if it's a car, you took it to the car wash once a week, and you swept it out, and you bought those real expensive air fresheners and put them in the air ducts, right? And you made sure every person, and every time you drove past one of those window shops, you looked at yourself driving along going, I am looking good. It takes a lot to make this look good, but if I've got the right ride, I can fool anybody at any time, anywhere. Have you ever purchased something that you don't have money for to impress people you don't even like? Have you ever done that? Have you ever fallen into that trap of thinking, you know what, if I just had a little bit more? If you've ever asked God to give you a raise more than once in a year, you are trapped, right? And why? The more that God blesses you with money, guess what happens? And the more that you spend, the more what collects? Debt. And the more debt that you have, the more what happens? Worry, stress, fights, everything else that goes on because you're trapped. Because just getting that $100 bill off this mousetrap, and some of you, you've not left this. You keep thinking, how in the world is he going to get that off of that mousetrap, right? Who in here is doing that right now? Who's going, how's he going to get that off there? Because honestly, for me to get this off here, I'm going to have to take the pain of getting that off there. Is it right? And so this is stuck. It's trapped. And so here's what I want to do is I just want to show you some verses in the Bible that Jesus says about your possessions. And we're not going to be in here long today because this is just the start of the series. I just need you to realize from the very start, before we go any further, that this may be you. You may fall into the category of being trapped. And your greatest fear, and let's just be honest, for some of us in here, your greatest fear in here today is knowing, do I have enough money to make it through the weekend into my next check? Your greatest fear is that. Your greatest fear is, what if something goes down, how's it going to get better? If that's you in here and you're stressed out right now because I just did a good job of stressing you out, can I pray for you right now? Because you need a little Jesus today to help you out and to walk you through your trap. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now knowing that there is nothing that we can do to get out of our own way when it comes to money. Because God, money is fun when you have it. The freedom of having money, no fear, no stress, all the bills are being paid. God, I really think that that's how you wanted us to live. God, I think you wanted us to be better at wanting things and not owning things. So God, for us in here, that this is just a rehearsal. We've been through this. We've heard it 1,000 times. Lord, I pray for them. I pray that they don't get discouraged. But Lord, that they would be an encouragement to those in here that are struggling. That Lord, they'll persevere through this, knowing that Lord, you have brought them from a point in their life where they didn't have a lot. And Lord, I pray that they pray for the ones in here that struggle, that they can have the very same freedom that they have in you, the very same freedom to do things that they want to do. But God, I pray that we can just honor you with our time. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you have your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 5, I want to kind of give you a little history in this. Jesus is in the middle of nowhere, okay? Think about this. Jesus is in the middle of nowhere, but he's got a lot of people in the middle of nowhere. So Jesus is somewhere with a lot of people that is nowhere. Does that make sense? Like he's nowhere with a lot of people. It kind of sounds like this is a make-believe story, but he's on this mountain and he's beginning to preach and he's teaching these life lessons and he begins to talk about the kingdom of God and he begins to talk about this principle of how you as a person relate to other people, how you relate to your spouse, how you relate to God, and then he goes into this, how you relate to yourself and how you have temper and how you should handle your temper and how you should do these things and how you should walk and how you should live and all of these things. But here's the main thing, is Jesus finally gets into Matthew chapter 6 and he begins to talk about possessions. There's something about the connection between your heart and your possessions, because when your heart is not right, when your finances aren't absolutely doing what God has called you to do with them, I can promise you this, your relationship with him is going to waver. And so he knows this, and he begins to attack this idea. If you've got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, he begins to talk about your treasure. He says, do not lay up for treasures yourself on earth. Now, here's a misnomer. He is not telling you not to save. He is not telling you not to be prepared. What he's saying is don't have so much faith in those things that you miss out on the finer thing that he is more than important. Because guys, let's just be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we have things and possessions in our life that even if God came himself and said, give that to me, we would have a hard time giving that to him, right? There are things in our life that we just really, really like. And Jesus says, you have to be very careful of that. Because when you lay up those things, you put those things in front of me, listen, they're temporary. Would you just write that down in your Bible? Temporary versus eternal. Most of the times, we're making bad decisions with temporary things that have no eternal power. So Jesus says, you've got to be careful of this because in the temporary of things, you lay up for yourself, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But, and I love this, I love that he uses this conjunction here, verse 20, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Now, here's what I've learned. The only thing that you can really take to heaven with you is what? Your soul and what else? Other people's souls. The only two things that you can take to heaven with you is your soul and other people's souls. And so Jesus begins to say this. He says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. As you're going through life, there's more things important than having a lot of stuff and having a lot of possessions. He says, actually, quite frankly, those things can get in the way of the mission that I actually have for you, which is what? Being an evangelist to the lost people. This is why I pray all the time that God continues to bring the lost people inside of our church, not so our numbers can increase, not because we can get bigger and better. It's because I truly believe that God wants to save anybody who is willing to give their life to him. Amen? And so that has got to be the very forefront of your life when you wake up every day. How am I leading people to Jesus? That is the only treasure that you can store up into heaven. And wouldn't you like to be like, is it the Ray Bolt song? It says, I'm here because you said something to me back in the day at a revival and Colby King was there and he did this thing and you invited me. You're there because of that, right? I want to be known for that. I want people to walk up to me in heaven and say, listen, the reason I'm here is because you told me the truth about who Jesus Christ was and Jesus changed me. That's the only thing that you can really invest in life is people. So Jesus says, if you're going to lay up treasures, lay up the type of treasures that's going to last eternally. And the only thing eternal on this earth is your soul and other people's soul. What else you going to take with you? Jesus kind of hits it on the head. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But he goes a little bit further and look what it does. The eye. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Now, what is he talking about here? It's just like he completely transitions to where it's just kind of crazy talk. He's talking about where my treasure is and how I'm, you know, pursuing people and doing all this. And then he begins to talk to me about my eye. Here's what he's saying. You've got to be careful what you're putting your attention on. What are you looking at? What is your main focus? What is the thing that your eye is focusing on? Because he says your eye is the keyhole to your soul. What you're allowing yourself to focus on is the thing that's going to get in the way of you and Jesus. And now I don't know what it is for you, but I can tell you that I'm a big Sooner fan. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, the keyhole to my soul is this. I have to look at the Sooner stuff before I look at what God has to say to me. And maybe you're a Poke fan in here, and I don't even know why you would even want to look at that at all, all right? That is just like sin in itself. The mullet has got to go, all right? I'm just saying it, right? Amen? Can I get an amen here? The mullet's got to go. Wow. That was Chill Prop, if anybody wanted to know. He's a sinner in the hands of an angry God. Be quiet! I'm preaching. You guys are so rude. Now I can't. Now I lost my thought because you Poke fans think it's awesome to make me mad. Shut up, Luke.
You started it. You started it.
You hate when your kids are right, you know? You just want to get over here. All right, here we go. But if your eye is bad, look at it, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. when you don't focus on what God has planned for you and you begin to put stuff, possessions, things, money, and you begin to focus on that in your life, he says what's going to happen is being able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And how many of us in here would say that? That's what my finances do to me. I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. It seems like it just gets darker and darker and darker and darker. And I am trapped because I feel lost because of this. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24. This is the underlined verse. No one can serve two masters. I mean, if you're just sitting there in that crowd that day and you're hearing Jesus teach this, you're going, yeah, that's true. It's kind of hard to be devoted to one. It's hard to serve two masters. It's always best if you have one chief and a lot of Indians. You know, it's kind of hard to follow suit in this. It's very difficult. And I would agree with Jesus right here. I'd be like, yeah, you're right. Good point. I'll check that one off to your side, Jesus. Good point. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And then look at what Jesus does. This is all making sense as I read this. I'm going, yeah, this is me. I can see how I feel this way towards people or towards the situation. And then he flips the switch and look what he does. You cannot serve God. Let's pretend like you don't know that. Okay. What would you put in that blank? Like, let's just kind of erase that, and what would you put in that blank? The obvious answer would be Satan, right? You'd be like, okay, you can't serve God in what? Satan. Because Satan's bad, right? And he's against God, and he's evil. And a lot of times, that's what we put in that line. I can't serve God in work. I can't serve God in whatever else there is out there that you can think of that you could put in there. You would think that Jesus would have some spectacular thing to say here, but he goes to the heart of your problem and he says, you cannot serve God in money. Going back to my original point is this: you cannot have a healthy relationship in Jesus and be trapped. You cannot be walking in step by step by step with Jesus if you are being trapped by your money. Now listen, some of you have lots of money, you're using it well, but here's the thing, you're not giving any to God. And there is no way, and the Bible says this, and this is not because I need a paycheck and I need you to write a check to the church so I can feed my kids. That would be a good reason to give a check to the church, okay? I've got 5 kids, I need that. But the truth is for your relationship in the Lord to grow forward and stop being stuck spiritually, Jesus connects the heart to your finances. And he says, if your heart wants to get right, if you want to begin to walk in the way that God calls you to walk, the only way that you can do that is you can serve God and you cannot serve money. Here's the funny thing about this. Nowhere in the scriptures does Jesus ask people for money. You ever notice that? Like, why he's on the earth, there's nowhere in the scriptures where he's like, yeah, I need your money. One time, remember they said, hey, Jesus, you're going to pay taxes to Caesar. And Jesus is like, oh, Peter, go to the dock, dip your hand in the water, a fish is going to come up, pull it out of the water, pull a coin out of there and bring it to me. Sure enough, Peter, could you just imagine this? Like, if it's in your head, can you just imagine this? Jesus is like, yeah, like, I've never noodled before. Right? That's kind of what it is. And if you noodle in here, man, you are a freak and you need help. All right? Who sticks their hand up there into a catfish's mouth and goes, yeah, let's hang on 8 seconds. I don't know who does that, but if you're in here, I want to go watch you. All right? I know mouth to mouth. All right? Oh, that's weird. That was uncalled for. So Peter goes to the dock. A fish comes up and bites his finger. This is my version. Bites his finger. He goes, oh my gosh. He takes the fish back to Jesus, and Jesus, like, opened its mouth. And Peter's like, it's stuck. I'm trapped. Ah. He opens it up, pulls out a coin. I can see him look at Jesus like, bro, nooks. Right? That's what I would do to Jesus. I'd be like, dude, walking on water, that was tight. Right? You know, I'd be saying that stuff all the time to him. Jesus pulls the coin out. And he says, who's on that coin? I said, oh, Caesar. He says, you give Caesar what Caesar's. You give God what's God's. And then he gives that money back away. The only time in Scripture that I see that Jesus asks for money. You want to know why Jesus is so concerned about your money if he's not asking for your money? Jesus doesn't say this so he can have your money. He wants you. He knows that he cannot have you if he doesn't have you willing to give your money to him. That's just it. And a lot of people get upset with me and say, Pastor, no, you're just trying to give me a bunch of line here. No, I'm being honest with you. The reason that Jesus wants your money is he knows that when you are willing to give your money away, he's got you. But if not, your money will own you and you will serve that money the rest of your life. No ands, ifs, or buts. And every day will be a worry, trap, and if I had a little bit more will be the theme of your life. And Jesus knows that. And the reason he's preaching this to these people, he's like, listen, you can't be worried about money. Because money, it has worry enough. Money, it has nothing but a trap. It cannot serve you like I can serve you. Let me have you, and I'll give you what you need. That's the point behind it. But what are we going to learn during this series? Like, at the end of the day, what is in it for us? I think there's four things that we're going to learn through this series. And if you're taking notes, I know you just realized, oh my gosh, that was the introduction. It's not. I'm almost done, actually. All right? Four things. Let's turn two more books over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6. Starting in verse 46. From this story, there's four things that I want to tell you that God wants for you. Now, I'm not talking about us. Please hear me when I say this. Everybody, look at me. Please hear me when I say this. This is not an us moment as a church. We are going to do this. This is a you and God. These are four things that he wants for every person in this room. Four things. Kids, you want to be successful in life? You want to go forward in life. You don't want to be trapped by money. You don't want to have those arguments with your spouse because I guarantee it's coming. Can I get an amen? If you've not fought about money, write a book and me and you will go together and we'll sell that thing. If you've never had that occasional argument about, hey, whoa, why did you have to buy this? If you can learn these four things, it'll revolutionize your life in this story. And Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? See, guys, this is the problem with our society. We're gray. We're not black and white anymore. We don't call sin what sin is. And Jesus is calling this out. He's like, listen, you can't live in the gray and expect for me to be okay with that. It's got to be black or it's got to be white. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? You can't just pretend to be in the relationship with me. You've got to be either all in or you're out. That's what he's saying. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them. Okay, everyone that comes to him and does his words, this is what's going to happen to them. I will show you what he is like. So he's going to give us an illustration. If you're in here and you're going to follow God, you're going to do what God tells you to do, and you have that Joshua 24:15 moment in your family, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He says, I'll give you an example of what it's like. And we all know this story. You ready for this? I liken him to a man. I'm a man. I liken him to a man who is building a house. It's kind of like Tim the Tool Man Taylor, right? Building a house. Got a project. I'm building a house. I liken him to a man who's building a house, who dug deep, and he laid his foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the streams broke against that house, and it could not be shaken because it was well built. But, because every story has to have a protagonist and an antagonist, and Jesus kind of sets this up, and he says, but the one who hears and does not do them, do what? Trust God. If you don't trust God, I liken him to a man who built his house on the what? The sand. Didn't have a firm foundation. And when the stream broke against it, immediately it what? And the ruin of that house was great. Four things that you can learn from this passage of scripture. Ready for taking notes? We're going to go through them really quickly. Four things. One, Jesus says, if you want to be wise and build your foundation, it starts with this. Look what he says. Doing what I say. What does that mean? The first thing that Jesus wants you to know with your finances, with everything in life, is that you are dependent upon him. You can't save yourself. You cannot make yourself better. Your dependence on your finances or whatever it is in life is that you're dependent on doing what he calls you to do. You have to trust him. Here's the second thing. That's point one. Point two is simple. He wants you to be free. Think about the guy that built his house upon the firm foundation. Yes, it took a lot of work. Yes, it took a lot of effort. But he dug down as deep as he possibly could to hit solid ground because he knew once I hit solid ground, what happens? My house is sturdy. And when your house is sturdy, guess what happens? Freedom comes. You don't have to worry about everything else. You don't have to worry when the clouds get a little gray and the rain begins to come down. You're not worried about that. Why? Because your foundation is not just so ho-hum and you just kind of sort of guessed at things at life. You stuck to what God said. And honestly, I'm going to tell you about your finances, what God wants for you. He wants every one of us in this room to be financially free. He wants every one of us in this room to be free to go do what his work has called us to do. Some of you have not went on mission trips. Why? Because you don't have money to do it. Some of you want to give to this baby thing that we're doing right now, but you're not giving any money. Why? Because you don't have any. You're not able to do what God's called you to do because you're not free. You're trapped. Wow. Jesus says, this man that builds his house upon the firm foundation, he doesn't have to worry. He doesn't lay in bed at night going, oh, I wonder why. I wonder if this just happens, if my car breaks down. I don't have to worry about that. Why? Because I'm free. I don't have to live paycheck to paycheck. I don't have debt. I'm just free to just wake up and hear the birds chirp and go to work and live free. Here's the third thing. Security. It's kind of like freedom, but it's completely different too. Security of knowing that the things that you have, if it all goes away tomorrow, you're secure. I've got my house. And it may be able to take some of the stuff off my house, but my foundation could not be moved. Security. Now, let me just ask you a question real quick. If you're in here and you're trapped by your finances, that's the one thing that you want in life is security. Because when you have security, you're able to rest. You're able to breathe. You're able to function in life without having all the stress of everything. And how many of us in here, this is rhetorical, are stressed out about our finances? And it's painful. And I'm just not secure. And let me tell you something about when your finances are not, you're not secure in those, what's the first thing you do when trouble comes? You begin to what? Somebody said it. What did they say? Doubt. You begin to doubt what Jesus said of you. And when doubt seeps in, that's Satan's number one tool. He leads every one of his temptations. And the temptation of the garden and the temptation of Jesus, every one of them starts with the temptation of, are you really the Son of God? Did God really say? Because you're playing right into his hands when you don't live financially secure. You begin to doubt the love that God has for you. And you've been trapped by this doubt of thinking, does God really love me? Does God really care for me? And guess what? You're playing right into Satan's hands. Because that's his favorite tool he uses against you. And here's the fourth thing that I learned. A beachfront is really nice, is it not? Like this guy, if he builds it on the sand, he's building on the beachfront. I see a little hammock out in the yard, and I see the little coconut trees, palm trees. I see him have a little puppy dog that buries itself in the sand, and he's enjoying life. Things are great. He's got his little coconut that has a little straw hanging out, and he's drinking a little margarita or whatever he's drinking. or Coke. And he's swigging back on that. Begins to see the trees move. In my story, I picture a coconut falling on his head. But let's just keep going with the story. He's drinking the little coconut drink, and everything begins to start unraveling. He built his house on unsolid ground because he just wanted to get it done. Because it was too much work to dig down. Here's the lesson that I think that every one of us should learn, and this is the lesson that this whole entire series is going to be driven by. When you learn to be content, mark it down, write that word down in your Bible, content. What does content mean? It means this: I would rather want than owe. You see the difference in that? When I owe on something, I have payments and stress that come along with it. When I want something, I can see what somebody else is driving. I go, you know, I'd really like that. Wow. You could go shopping and you could look at your raggedy clothes going through the mall going, you know what? And my hope for you is that you just get content and realize, you know what? I don't need a $200 pair of shoes. And some of you ladies in here are going, yeah, I need that $200 pair of shoes. I promise you there's no guy in this room going, look at those. You hear me? He's not going, I wonder what size those are. None of that is going on. Now, some of you just took that off the deep end, and you shouldn't have done that. Shame on you, and you need to come forward and confess afterwards, okay? But the truth is that because we're not content, we're looking at what everybody else have and thinking, well, I'm missing out on life, when you're really not, because you're not having to pay for that truck that dude's paying for. You're not having to pay that credit card bill that has $19.95 or whatever it is, percent interest on it. You're not having to pay that, right? And guess what? You can sit back and go, man, I'm glad I didn't bought that. How many times have you ever said that to yourself? I'm glad I didn't do that. It's like Garth Brooks' song, Unanswered Prayers. Like you go back to your hometown football game and you run into your old flame. And you're like, thank God for unanswered prayers. You ever done that? No, raise your hand. She may be here. Oh, thank God that I didn't say yes to that. And the way she like treats her husband in that moment, she's like, get over here. And you're like, oh my gosh, I dodged a bullet there, right? Same way with your finances. When you learn to be content, what comes with contentment is less debt. When you learn to be content, guess what, kids? Hey. The iPhone X, is that it? Is that the new cool one out right now? Like, the X, is that what you guys do when you talk about it? The X, that's what they used to say about X-Files, right? The X-Files, you ever watch that? Anybody seen the skit guys? Okay, anyway. But listen to me. Here's what I'm saying to you guys. Learning this now could save you all kinds of problems later. Parents, can I just get an amen here? Because they think that I'm stupid right now. Maybe they need to hear it from you. Thank you. He says, teach me all you know. That will not be good for you. Learning to be content. Huh? All right. Being content is the art of learning to say no. You don't have to have. You don't have to be in that relationship. It comes with baggage. And I think the person who builds their house upon the solid rock, he's content in the fact that I don't need the nice beachfront view. I just need Jesus. So how in the world, some of you youth have seen this, so don't say anything. How do I get freedom? I mean, at the end of the day, I want freedom, and I want $100, and I don't want to get hurt by it, right? Anybody else there with me? Be quick, right? Be quick. What did they say? Be one with the trap, yeah. Be one. This is dangerous, and please do not try this at home. I don't even know why you'd put a $100 bill on a mousetrap, right? Hang on. Here's $2. Derek. Just keep calm. Keep calm. And trust your pastor. That should be a t-shirt. Keep calm and trust your pastor. That is just dumb. Here you are. I'll give you $2. Right? Whoop. Or you can have 100. Oh, it won't hurt, but for a little bit. And your whole entire family can go out. Give that back. You wuss. Get up here, Ethan. I'm not going to give you the $100 for real, but do you trust me? You do trust me? Is this going to hurt? Sometimes trust the people it hurts, doesn't it? Has anybody ever been hurt by trusting somebody? Trust me. Okay, listen. This is going to hurt really bad. But sometimes to have our finances in order, can I just say this to you? Sometimes to have our finances in order, we have to do the painful things. We have to be content. So are you content with $2? Would you rather have $100? Well, come on now, come on. We don't have a lot of time. Huh? You want the 100? Now, you're not really going to get this if you get it out of there because your dad's got plenty of money. And tell me if he has any laying around. You tell me if he has some laying around, I'll ask him for some. How about this? If you get that 100 off there, I'll tell your dad he owes you $100. Is that cool? Okay. You heard me? You think he'll be good with that?
Yeah, I don't think he'll go for it.
Okay. I'll call him later, all right? Holy cow, you jump like a sissy girl. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. All right, here. I'm telling you, this is going to hurt, okay? Ah! Come on, just take it. You could probably just untwist it right up there and probably get it off a lot easier. We don't have all day. People are already looking at their watches. Don't think that I don't see you guys doing that, by the way. And giving me that face. Okay.
I'll hold that.
No, you can't hold that down. Just all you can do is touch the $100 bill. No, like get it off there.
I don't want to do it.
With Jesus, he takes away the sting of death. The things that trap us, the things that hurt us, when we begin to trust his method, his plan, why? By the way, that's your mom and dad's. Gosh. Here, I'm going to give you $2 for being such a good sport. Share that with him. Give him $1. There you go. Hey, that's a smart kid right there. That's a smart kid, right? Here's what I want you. Go ahead and sit down. You're still on my show. All right. That's a joke. I'm just, if you're here and you think that's what I'm doing, I apologize. Trust the Lord. His freedom is better. Find security in the fact that you don't have to have things. And learn to say no. Be content. You ready for this? Dave Ramsey says this, and I think that we all should write this down. I'm going to say no for a little while so I can say yes the rest of my life. I'm going to say no right now. Young people, listen to me. This is huge. I'm going to say no right now. Because the rest of my life, when I found freedom, not just having lots of money, finding that stuff doesn't really carry the weight that it says that it does, I can say yes the rest of my life. Let's pray. For some of us,